We're going to do a word study. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you come up with a phrase of some sort, whether it's about God or Jesus or something that they do or want or have accomplished, and you study the Bible through, usually the New Testament, for that word phrase. And so we're going to take a word phrase tonight, and it is in your bulletin, God is. God is. And God is a lot of things. And we are going to look at those tonight. We're going to start with Luke 1:37. God is. And in Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." That has nothing to do with God is, okay? But I want to use that as a jumping off place for us to be aware of the fact that God can do anything. Anything. Anything that's necessary. He can do some wonderful things, and we're going to look at some wonderful things tonight. When Moses was at the burning bush, God referred to himself as I am. And that is how Moses came to know God. None of the Old Testament, or New for that matter, had been written yet. And so Moses was operating on pure faith. And that started me thinking about who God is, and I thought that I might do a word study on the phrase, God is, using just the New Testament. Here's what I found. We will start with the book of Matthew and go from there. We'll take them pretty much in consecutive order. And there'll be a lot of different scriptures. So you may get, if you get behind, just put your hand up and we'll catch up, okay? We'll stop and let you catch up. So the first scripture we're going to look at tonight is going to be Matthew 3:9. Matthew 3:9. And Matthew 3:9 tells us, "And think not to say within ourselves, we have Abraham to be our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise children unto Abraham." Now you must remember that Jesus is the one speaking and Jesus cannot lie. So if Jesus says that God could raise up children from the stones to Abraham, he could. And then we look at Matthew 12:28. Matthew 12:28. And that says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you." And this is a very important fact that Jesus tells his followers. God is here now. When it says, "God is come unto you," God is here now. He has always been here. He always will be here. We just have not been as aware of it until we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now the next passage of Scripture is Matthew 22:32. Matthew 22:32. And God is talking here and he says, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." God is not the God of the dead. God, that's the phrase, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are going to have to deal with God every day. Let's move on. Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15. "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Jesus had a simple message. God is at hand. Believe the gospel. God is at hand. Our next passage is Matthew 12:29. Mark 12:29. Looking at my abbreviations wrong. Mark 12:29. "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is the only Lord. You can have other gods, but they will be false gods. And next we have two verses that are very similar, so we'll look at them together. Luke 10:9. And heal the sick that are and heal the sick that there are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh you. The kingdom of God is come nigh you. And then Luke 11:20 is the next part one. It says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. So the two phrases we're looking at is God is come nigh you and God is come upon you. Now, just two words, God is. And he is all these different things that we're looking at and ways that he is being blessing. You see, these are very similar in meaning. And the meaning is the same. Now, we begin to see the effect of what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. Have you ever done a word search like this? Looking through the Bible, looking at a phrase? It's fun and it can give you a better understanding of who God is. The next verse that we come to is John 3:33. John 3:33. You're going to feel like this might be a sword drill. It's not a sword drill, okay? John 3:33. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. God is true. Do you see all the different things that God is to us as believers? We can learn from all the expressions God is. Next, we go to John 4:24. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you know that God is a spirit. That we have learned, what have we learned so far? We have learned that God is able, God is come, God is not the God of the dead, God is at hand, God is one Lord, God has come nigh unto you, God has come upon you, God is true, and God is a spirit. So we'll continue to look through the New Testament and continue to see what God is. The next chapter, or next verse we're going to look at is going to be in the book of Acts. Acts 10:34. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. That is something for us to keep in mind. God is no respecter of persons. This is where I come in, and I'm so grateful for it that God is no respecter of persons, because he reached out and saved me, just like he reached out and saved you. Acts 28:28. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Folks, that's us. That's us. We're the Gentiles. We're not Jews. And we had a Jew out at the fair yesterday afternoon, and he did not want to see a New Testament. And we had a chance to speak with him a little bit, but he just doesn't think that we know what we're talking about. So, we are, you and I are Gentiles, and we're not included in the promise that God made to Abraham, but he took us in anyway. And we are able to enjoy the blessings that God gives us, just like we're family. The next verse, somebody's phone.
It's not mine.
It's your sister.
It's your mother.
both of y'all's sensors went off. Y'all both ate donuts at the same time.
Okay.
Donuts.
Mine is silence. Is your blood sugar?
257.
Okay. He's being warned about high blood sugar. Let's see what I'm being warned about. Well, it's not.
It's off the charts.
No, I'm just below him. I'm at 241.
See?
Well, at least you guys did at the same time.
Well, must be something in the air, A.B.
Donuts, apple fritters.
Yeah, that's probably what. Don't get nasty.
See?
All right. Okay, Romans 1:9. Romans 1:9. And we're going to look at God is again. It says, "For God is my witness. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And that is just telling us that Paul was constantly praying for his converts, for his people, the sheep that he was responsible for. And we need to be the same way. We need to constantly be praying for each other. Paul was in constant prayer about the Roman church. The next two verses are joined by subject. They each express opposing views, but it is the same God working. And so we're going to look at Romans 1:18-19. Romans 1:18-19. "For the wrath of God is revealed." God is revealed from the heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them." In the first verse, God is revealed as judge. And in the second verse, he has made man aware of who he is. Everyone has a knowledge of God to begin with. When they are born, they have a knowledge of God built into them. In an animal, we would call it instinct. But this is not instinct. This is a knowledge that we have of God. And God gives it to us as we are, when we are born and begin to think for ourselves. Verse 20 there says, "For the invisible things of God, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." No one has an excuse to say, I don't know God. No one has an excuse to be an agnostic or an atheist or anything other than a believer. But many choose not to believe because it's inconvenient for them. They want to do other things. They want other experiences that God knows are not good for us. And so they deny God. And if you deny enough, if you lie enough, you will begin to believe the lie. Even though you made up the lie and know it's a lie, you will begin to believe it. And then you will begin fighting for it in some cases. And so God has given us a knowledge of himself. Every man who has it, no matter what their mental capacities are, they have this knowledge within them. It's in their soul. And that's where God doesn't do all of our thinking with our brain. He does a lot of it with our soul. And so he puts within our soul a knowledge, a warmth that we can experience knowing that God is real and that he is concerned about us. So we learned earlier that God is righteous, that he cannot make mistakes. We also learned that he is no respecter of persons. So God is going to do what is right, and he is going to give everyone what they deserve. That's what I was so worried about in this election. because I know what we deserve. And God did not give that to us. God's grace was shown to us. And so God is going to do what is right. He's going to give everybody what they deserve. And if they place their faith in Jesus for salvation, they will go to heaven when they come to the end of their time on earth. But if they don't place their faith in Jesus for salvation, they will go to hell at the end of their life here on earth. It is their choice. So let's go on and look at a few more things that God is. By the way, out at the fair, there was one thing I noticed, and I don't know if those of you who were out there passing out gospel tracts, the lesbian ladies, the homosexual men, would not take a gospel tract. They did not want it. And, they wouldn't do that. Because I got in front of people and put the tract out in front of them for them to take. And most people would take it and say thank you. And, you know, and some of them would put it in their pocket and go on. But the couples that you could tell were couples, they would not take a gospel tract because they knew already in their heart where they stood with God, and they did not want to be reminded. So what an eternity to look forward to. Okay, now we go to Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. The judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. God does not excuse one person for doing something that violates his law. And so we can expect the same kind of treatment for all those who commit violations of God's law. Remember that one of the first things that we saw was that God is just. He treats everyone the same way. No respecter of persons. Next, we look at Romans 2:24-25. Romans 2:24-25. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for the circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. There's another verse that sheds light on this subject. It's found in Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the name of God is not blasphemed among the Gentiles except for the Jews. So let's keep looking at what God is. Now we come to a good verse I really enjoy. I enjoy this whole chapter of Romans. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now this verse starts the cycle of life and should be so comforting to us. There are several verses here that explain everything about the life with God, and he follows the same pattern all the time. Every time he does the same, and we can count upon him to take care of our situation. The whole cycle is comprised of verses 3 through 5 of Romans chapter 5. So if you want to look at the cycle of life, you take a look at Romans 5, 3 through 5. Now this next verse is fantastic. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. What a gift. What a gift that he can give to us. And he gives it. He gives it. Didn't I tell you it was fantastic? It is a fantastic verse. Just imagine having eternal life through Jesus Christ. And many times after we're saved, we sin and deny God. But he does not give up on us. Instead, he does something that we could not expect. He grafts us again into the body of Christ. Romans 11:23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. When a person sins after being saved, God is able to receive us still. He gave us the verse in 1 John 2. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is, he is grafting us back into the tree, back into the grapevine. And we are the branches. So, we are truly feeble folks when compared to God. And we are fortunate that we belong to God because of Romans 14:4. Romans 14:4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand." God is not material like meat and drink, but he is spiritual and controls us through his Spirit, through his Holy Spirit. That brings us to Romans 14:7. Romans 14:17. Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." God wants you to be able to receive his Holy Spirit by accepting his Son as your Savior. God is not, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Do you think that it was an accident that God called you and he called you to be one of his children? 1 Corinthians 1:9. "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God called you. It was not an accident that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. God actually called you to be part of his children. God calls every man and woman born into this world to come into his Son and be saved. But not all respond with an affirmative answer. God is faithful, but mankind is not reliable to accept his offer. Some will reject it. Let's continue. 1 Corinthians 1:25. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Then we have a verse that tells us the same thing with a little more explanation. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Down five verses. 1 Corinthians 1:30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." God is made unto us righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What a glorious thing. There are warnings among these verses. 1 Corinthians 3:17. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy." to the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, are you learning anything from this study of who God is? All right, good. I learned a whole lot as I was doing it. One thing I learned was 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. God is much more than any of us. We have 1 Corinthians 14:25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he worshiped God and reported that God is in you of a truth. God is in you of a truth. What more could we ask for? We are told that we need not do anything in our own strength, because God is our strength. 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that while ye always having all sufficiently in all things, may abound to every good work. No excuse for us to get into sin. God empowers, God is able to make us make all grace abound toward you. Then we get into the book of Galatians. Galatians 3:20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. There's not a multiple gods. God is one. Now we come to a portion of Scripture where there is just a few statements for our learning benefit. Galatians 6:7. This is one that the world needs to know, needs to remember. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You don't plant soybeans and get wheat. If you plant mischief, mischief is what you're going to get in return, because the crop always comes in. Then in 1 Thessalonians 2:5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, or cloak of covetousness. God is witness. God is a witness to everything we do. Everything. Good, bad, or indifferent. God is a witness to that. And at some point, we will be reminded that we have done that. So it's best to confess when you remember and to get it dealt with. It's sort of scary when you think about God seeing everything that we do. Paul now tells us that even if we do wrong and get caught, that we can use the time of our incarceration to preach the gospel. That was what Paul did. 2 Timothy 2:9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. We can go anywhere in the world and share the word of God. It might cost you your life in some places, but we can still go there. I know that as Michael Privet goes to India all the time, the Hindus are really bad in some areas about persecuting Christians. And if possible, if they can't hurt them, they kill them. and that prevents any growth. So God is not bound, not by anything. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So, when you serve God, and especially if it involves sacrifice, God is not going to forget. God is not going to forget. You might forget, but eventually God will remember when you get before him, and he will reward you. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He's going to make a place for each of you. He is going to make a place for each of you. As I said, we are given several statements that tell us more about God. 1 John 1:5. This is then the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know, we all have aspects of darkness within us, because there are aspects that where we're not showing God or the things of God. So, there's no darkness at all. First John 3:20. Or if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God knows everything about you even before it starts. He knows all things. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater than the witness of men. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And finally, we come to the end of this word study with 1 John 5:9. 1 John 5:9.
Well, I thought you just said that.
We just read that.
You already said 1 John 5:9.
Said John 5:9.
John 5.
We did John, not 1 John.
You had
me worried there.
Okay.
We finished 1 John.
Sorry.
John, I thought.
1 John 5:9.
Yes, okay. 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And let's close tonight's lesson with a verse out of the future. Let's look into the future and find a verse. Revelation 21:3. Yes. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's just a basic word study that you can do for yourself. If you have a concordance, you can always look up the word and see all the references to that word. And this tells us a lot about God, who He is and what He is. And they are all to our benefit. All of these are to our benefit. And someday we are going to be with Him. And the tabernacle of God will be with us as we will be in heaven. And we'll dwell with Him. Any questions?
When you said 1 John 1:5, God is light, no darkness inside. And then the second time was 1 John 3:20, right?
Let's see where 1 John, we start with 1:5.
Yes.
Then 1 John 3:20.
Okay.
And then 1 John 4:16.
Okay.
And then 1 John 5:9.
5:9. I thought you said John 5:9.
No, I said 1 John 5:9. I may have referred to John 5:9. Let me go back over and look. No, I didn't refer to
it. I was kind of confused here because you said, I thought you, because I thought 1 John 5:9, and then 1 John 5:9, then Revelation 23:3. So I'm from front of. Which one is first?
1 John 5:9 is the next to last verse.
Okay, so John 5:9 was the.
There is no John 5:9.
First John. You've got it written. Right.
We've got a John 3:3 and a John 4:24, and we just have two references in John: John 3:33 and John 4:24. John 3:33 is God is true, and John 4:24 is God is a spirit. And then we go to Acts. God is no respecter of persons.
So there was only three Johns. John 3:33. John 4:24. 24.
That's it.
That's it.
That was it.
That's it for John.
Two Johns. Yeah, that's it.
John is done.
And then first John was John. First John was 2:3. Right? I'm trying to make sure I got it correctly.
Well, you can check.